Last September, a scientific poll was taken to investigate Americans' views on meaning and purpose. And those results were released just this month. What the poll found out, not surprisingly, was that Americans are less certain about life and everything involved in life now than they were a year earlier. Not surprisingly also, it found that Americans were thinking about life after death and whether or not they would go to heaven when they died. So when you put those two questions among many others in the poll, put those together, what you see is that people are thinking more and more about heaven and whether or not they're going to go to heaven when they die, but they're less and less certain there really is even any heaven to live for. More and more Americans are thinking that there's really not anything more to this life than just what we have, our daily life that we have right here. And what's even sadder is that many more Americans are thinking that this may be as good as it gets. This broken world, what we're living with, this is maybe the best we can hope for. And that's heartbreaking to me, because we were made for so much more. This is not as good as it gets. It gets a lot better. There's so much more to this life, and there's so much more to life after life that most Americans don't even know about. And that's why we're here. At Brazos Point Fellowship, our mission has always been guiding people to take their next step with God, guiding them to see that there is more to this life than what they expect. And one of the problems with guiding people to take their next steps with God is when we ask, well, what are my next steps? And for some of you, you hear us talking all the time about, like, take your next step with God. We'll guide you. And you're going, well, what is that? And I think a conversation that Randy Dane, our executive pastor of ministry, had with his middle daughter, Cooper, can probably explain and maybe explain how many of us have felt, many of you surely have felt, when you're thinking, what is my next step with God? Rather than me share that conversation with you, I asked Randy to record it so that I can show it to you guys this morning. So watch this. This is a short little description of his conversation with his daughter, Cooper.
So a little over a year ago, my now 10-year-old daughter, Cooper, came up to me and she said, Dad, what is my next step with God? I said, well, I don't know, Cooper. What do you think that it is? And she said, no, Dad, I need you to tell me. What is it that I do next? I said, well, Cooper, it's not always that simple. And she said, no, Dad, listen, like, I've stepped over the line of faith to become a Christ follower. I've been baptized to go public with my faith. I serve weekly in the preschool ministry, and I'm on the praise team in elementary. So what is it that I do next? I said, well, Coop, it's not always just A and then B and then C and then D. It's something that you have to pray about. I mean, what do you think that your next step is? She said, Dad, you're not listening to me. You've got a center in the foyer called the Next Step Center with volunteers. And if I were to walk up to that center on Sunday morning and ask one of those volunteers, what is my next step with God? What would they say to me? I said, well, Cooper, they'd probably say the same thing that I'm saying to you right now. But the deal is, Cooper is articulating what so many of us feel when we wonder, what's next?
Well, if you're like Cooper, you know you're made for more. And you want to answer the question, what is my next step with God? Well, we're introducing, beginning today and over the next 3 weeks, we're going to be introducing what we're calling a disciple-making pathway. And we hope that that pathway will help make it clearer to you what is your next step with God. Last week, we celebrated 20 years of Brazos Point Fellowship, helping people take their next steps with God. But we're not going to settle for what we've done in the past, because there is still so much more. There's still so much more to this life, and there's so much more that we want to help you see, and so many more steps we want to help you take. So just to describe this disciple-making pathway, we've put together a little animated video to give you an understanding, kind of at a 30,000-foot view, what the disciple-making pathway is. So watch this now.
Following Jesus is a journey, next step by next step. We're not just wandering aimlessly. No, we move with direction and purpose. That kind of movement needs a plan and a path, a GPS for the journey. The disciple-making pathway is your GPS as you journey with God, next step by next step. A follower of Jesus is also called a disciple. You become a new disciple when you discover relationship with Jesus. At this point on the path, we guide you into next steps as you continue to discover new life in Jesus. With Jesus, you come as you are, but you don't stay that way. As you continue the journey, you become a growing disciple and you continually develop as you learn to know and do what God says. At this point on the path, you guide you into next steps as you continue to develop in your life as a disciple. But here's the deal. Every disciple grows to understand. It's not about you. As you continue the journey, you become a disciple-making disciple and you deploy as you go, living on mission with God. At this point on the path, you guide others into their next steps as you continue to share what you have discovered as a disciple. Next step by next step.
So the disciple-making pathway is it's a GPS. It's a guideline where we help you discover your next steps, where on the beginning we guide you, then you guide you, and then you guide others. Looking at this triangle right now, we want to look at, as I said, kind of a 30,000-foot view of what it means to discover, develop, deploy. So today we're going to start at the beginning and look at the big picture of what it means to discover a relationship with Jesus. So if you have your Bible, I would invite you to open it to Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. If you have a paper copy like this, the book of Matthew is about three-fourths of the way through your Bible. And you'll find it's the first of four narratives or biographies of Jesus. We call them Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. It's the first one, Matthew. If you're on a phone device, you can just scroll way down to it till you get to Matthew. Now, you saw that phrase, guide marks, that we talk about. And look at the guide marks card on the seat back in front of you. If you don't have one, pull one out and take it with you. Maybe put it in your Bible, just carry it in your purse. The guide marks is, the first guide mark is Jesus. There's five different areas, and the guide marks kind of tell you what a disciple looks like and does. The pathway is going to show you how. And like I said, we're going to populate that triangle with a lot of different tools, classes, books, and things like that you can read to help you take your next steps with God. All that will be coming over the next couple of years. We're just going to be developing that. But right now, we're at the beginning phase of that. And that guide mark, as I said, the first guide mark is G. It's growing in knowledge and application of the Bible. And that's why we'd love to give you a Bible if you don't have one. You can pick one up at the Welcome Center, or we invite you to download the BPF app. It's got a lot of tools on it. And every week when there's a message, the message notes and the scriptures that we're looking at are on that app. So we're doing that to try to help you take your next steps with God. Now we're going to look together today at the words of Jesus in verse 28 as he helps us discover what it means to be a disciple. And this is just kind of bedrock foundational to what it means to know Jesus and follow him, to become a follower of Jesus Christ. Look at Matthew 11, verse 28. We're going to put the words on the screen if you don't have a Bible with you. Jesus said, "Come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now look at the first three words Jesus says here. Come to me. Being a disciple is a call to Jesus. It's a call to Jesus, and he's calling you. He says, come to me, inviting you into a relationship with him. And this is an amazing thing. It's an amazing invitation, and it's very unique to Christianity. It's what sets Christianity, the one true God, apart from all the other man-made religions we have in the world. And it's also, this come-to-me invitation is an essential block in understanding the disciple-making pathway. It's where it begins. Becoming a Christ follower. It comes with some incredible benefits, those more to this life than you realize, promises that I talked about at the beginning, that I've just talked about. But our greatest gain is getting a relationship with God himself through Jesus Christ. Let me just ask you this question. Have you discovered Jesus' invitation to follow him? That's where disciple-making begins. Look back at verse 28 of Matthew chapter 11. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." This is an amazing invitation, but who is he talking to when he talked about the weary and the burdened? Well, in Jesus' day, when he spoke these words originally, they were spoken, they have meaning for us as well, but the audience that he was talking to, there were people who'd been burdened by rules, commands, laws, expectations, and all kinds of things that their culture had put on them, both God-given and man-made. They were weary and exhausted from carrying the heavy load of trying to justify themselves with good behavior and self-righteousness. That's what their whole religion was about, and their whole world was built around that. So carrying the weight of what came to be just impossible had worn them out. Well, have you been there? I think we've recreated so much of that culture, even in American Christianity. Have you discovered that you can't be good enough to come to God on your own? Have you discovered that you can't bear the weight of your own sins? You can't take care of, you can't, you know, get freedom from those, much less forgive yourself for them. Weary and burdened is where those people felt when Jesus was talking to them. And I think weary and burdened is where so many of us are today. Weary and burdened is a horrible place to live, but it's not a bad place to start. Because when you are weary and burdened with all your self-effort and all your good deeds and trying to please God and please others, that's a great place to start because it helps you discover your need for Jesus. It helps you discover your need for forgiveness of sins and your need for what the Bible calls grace. Grace is this unmerited gift that God gives us. It's something we can't earn. It's just his gift that he gives us. And until you recognize your need for Jesus and something you can't earn, God's grace, there's no sense in trying to follow Jesus. It's a fruitless endeavor, just like it was for the people in Jesus' day to try to follow God without Jesus. Jesus invites the weary and burdened to come to him, and he promises to give them rest. Now, when you think about rest, what do you think of? Do you think about relaxing, stretching out on the couch? You think about maybe laying down in a tube and floating down a river? Do you think about like closing your eyes and listening to Asian spa music? You know, a little flute and every once in a while a little tinging of a chime or something? Well, when Jesus was talking about rest, I'm sure they didn't have any of those things in mind. Rest, what Jesus was talking about is the opposite of effort. It's the opposite of effort. And this is so hard for us because in our culture, we're like, you know, you make it on your own. You carry your own weight. And while that's good in many ways, it doesn't help us ultimately. It doesn't help us spiritually. It doesn't help us to go and be where God wants us to be. It doesn't help us to realize we're made for so much more. A fuller understanding of, but this understanding of rest gives you a fuller understanding of Jesus' invitation. Being a disciple is a call to Jesus, period. Write this down. Being a disciple is not, though, it's not a call to more effort. It's not a call to more effort. As we build the disciple-making pathway, phase by phase, I want to drive a stake in the ground right here, right now, and make sure we all understand that as we talk about this pathway and develop and deploy, it is not a call to try harder, okay? So stop trying harder and just begin by accepting Jesus' rest. Begin by accepting Jesus' rest. Write that down as well. It's a call to Jesus and a call to rest that he alone can give your wearying, self-justifying, self-righteous self. As I said, it's an essential building block, and it's the first one. Everything has to be built on top of this. If we don't get this right, it will horribly twist our understanding of the next two phases of develop and deploy. So if it's not about trying harder, why all the talk about paths, plans, next steps? Because it is following Jesus. We call it Christ's follower because we are following him. Well, go back to verse 29. I'll try to unpack a little of this for you. Jesus said, after he said, come to me, he said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. We need to look at two words in that phrase, in that verse, yoke and learn. You might want to circle both of them in your Bible. Let's take a deep dive into what both of those means. First of all, what is a yoke? Well, it's a middle part of an egg. But that's not what Jesus was talking about. Jesus was talking about this kind of yoke. Okay, that's a yoke. That was a common thing for people in Jesus' day. They saw those everywhere. That was as common to them as seeing a car is for us. It's just a part of their daily life. And a yoke is amazing because when you put two animals together in a yoke, you don't just get the strength of two animals. It's more than doubles their effort. A yoke was an amazing thing. It doubles their productivity. As I said, Jesus' audience was very familiar with it. As a matter of fact, the word yoke appears several times in the Bible, both Old and New Testament, but especially for those people, it was in their Jewish scriptures. They knew the word yoke. But one thing about it is every single reference to a yoke in the Old Testament was negative. Every single one. A yoke in the Jewish scriptures, it usually referred to some kind of a heavy, crushing burden, like you trying to pull something, do some kind of heavy work, and at the same time you're locked in with something else. A yoke was also referred to in the Jewish scriptures as a false religion that many times Israel would follow and then come to regret it. And then that yoke might be God's punishment on Israel, the yoke of another nation, subjugating them might be the yoke he talked about. A yoke sometimes referred to a sin that enslaved you, that you were locked into. And then it also referred to a bad idea, like yoking two animals that were different together. Say, yoking an ox and a donkey together. That was not going to work. Or in the New Testament, it talks about a bad idea of yoking a Christian marrying an unchristian. And it says, don't be unequally yoked. Well, a yoke was great for animals, really bad, bad for people. So it was shocking, I'm sure, when Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, because that was always something negative. And then when he went on to say, because if you take my yoke upon you, your burden will be light and I'll give you rest. And even more, if they thought about how yoked work, it was an unequal share of responsibility. Jesus promised to take on all the weight in the work, and that's not what a yoke does. A yoke shares work. But this is Christianity defined. It's the disciple making it explain. You look at that picture and you think burden and work and bondage. You still see effort and work. But this is actually a paradox, because Jesus intends for you to see freedom and rest from your weariness, rest from your burden when you take on his yoke. You see, the yoke of Jesus, he wanted you to start with thinking about a yoke that was negative, and he wanted to flip that concept. The yoke of Jesus doesn't look like that picture, because he is not our equal in size or strength or effort. We don't carry the load together with Jesus. God is not our co-pilot, and we are not his. He's the pilot, and he carries us. He carries the load, and he carries us. When we come to Jesus, we are yoked with him, and we give the full weight of our sin, our shame, and our guilt to him. We give God all our ability, all of our inability to obey him. And he carries all the burden of his own commands. If you look at all the commands that are in the Bible, he puts the burden of meeting those commands on himself, as well as the burden of our guilt and our sins and troubles and worries when we can't live up to that on our own. That's why his yoke is freedom. He gives the fullness of himself to us, doing all the work for us with his Spirit living in us. So when we respond to his invitation to be yoked with him, yes, we become captive to Christ. Yes, we are bound to him. The early Christ followers called themselves Christ's bond servants. And a bond servant was someone who would sell him or herself to a person of means to help pay off debt. And that's the picture that Jesus is giving us. But Jesus' yoke is a symbol of freedom and rest, because Jesus' bondservant is actually set free from those burdens the moment you give yourself over to him, the moment you are yoked with him. The debt is taken away. Our sin debt is gone. There's one more focus word in verse 29 that helps us to fully discover the call to disciple making. Once we yoke ourselves to Jesus and he takes away the burden, his Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. There's another step there. And that word that's the word learn. Look back at verse 29. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. We would call that stepping over the line of faith. And then learn from me. That would be like the next step. A disciple is a learner, a student, a follower of a master teacher. Disciple making is a call to a person. Christian discipleship is a call to Christ. So Christ's followers are yoked with Jesus, free from the weight of the law, free from the weight of sin that weighs us down, and free to learn and follow Jesus in a relationship. Write this down too. You see, being a disciple of Jesus is the freedom to follow. It's the freedom to follow. When we are yoked with him, then we begin to follow with him. As we learn from him, here's what's so cool. As we learn from him, we become more like him. We realize his ways are best. The longer we're yoked to him, the more we grow in Christ-likeness. And the more we are yoked to him, the more we learn that his commandments are really all boiled down to two things. Loving God with all our heart, which he'll enable us to do, and loving our neighbor or loving others as we love ourselves. That's what all the commands boil down to. And that's what following Christ does for us, is we learn those two things. And that commandment to love is ultimately why we develop and deploy the second and third phases of this disciple-making pathway. But before you develop or deploy, you got to discover this. If you haven't already figured it out, it's about relationship, not religion. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. A disciple is simply a Christ follower. Being a disciple, it doesn't represent some higher level of commitment. You're not upping your game here. That's not the point. No, in becoming a Christ follower, you commit your whole self to Jesus from the start. That's when you're yoked to him. You give him the full weight of all your responsibility, the full weight of your shame and guilt. It's not a program. It's not a to-do list. Being a Christian, a Christ follower, is not even a moral code. It is a call to Jesus himself. And that seems difficult for us to think about because we're always thinking about, I need to do this, I need to do this. The point is, as you become more like Jesus, as you learn who he is and what he's like, and you focus on him, and loving others, all the commands and rules, they just kind of begin to take care of themselves. You don't have that self-centeredness that leads you more and more to sin. More and more, you don't become perfect, but you become more like him. In the freedom of relationship, we grow in becoming more like him as we learn from him, as we follow him. He gives us a new heart and renews our mind with a new mind. No longer striving, but we're at rest, having peace with God. So what I want to ask you is, where are you on this triangle? Let's show this up again. Where are you on this triangle? Now, we'll go back and forth between some of these areas, but in general, what phase best describes where you are now? And this GPS is designed to help you figure out where you are and then where you're going. That's why we're here. We are here. We exist to guide people to take their next step with God. And in this discover phase, we guide you. And that's who I want to close with talking to, is if you're in that discover phase, we would love to guide you to discover you were made for so much more. To discover what it means to commit your life to Jesus Christ and to take on his yoke and devote your full life to following him. We'll guide you to learn to love Jesus as your Savior. You don't just turn a switch and then you love him, but you'll grow to love him the more you learn about him. Is it time you answered the call to follow Jesus Christ, to find rest for your weary soul, to experience peace, the kind of peace in your heart as he solves your sin problem and takes away your guilt? Is it time for you to take on his yoke to learn from him and learn to follow him and learn that you are free from self-effort and self-improvement and overcoming your shame and guilt? Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." If you're ready, if you've never stepped into that rest, then let me help you do that right now with a simple prayer. Would all of you bow your heads, close your eyes? If I'm speaking to you and you're ready to accept that rest that he gives you, you've never made a decision to become a follower of Jesus Christ, let me lead you in a prayer that will help you step over the line of faith. You just pray along with me. Just say, "Jesus, I am weary, and I do feel the weight of burden, and I'd love for you to lift it off of me. Jesus, I believe you died on a cross to pay for my sins. You lifted those off of me. Please forgive my sins. Take them away. And show me how to live from this day forward. I don't really understand all that the future holds, but I trust you to take me there. I yoke myself to you today. Now carry my burden. Fill me with your spirit. Give me a new heart and a new mind. And I will follow you. Amen." If you prayed that prayer with me just now, we want to help you take your next steps with God. We want to help you discover more and more and more about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. I would encourage you, if you just pray that prayer with me, to take your phone out and text the word faith to 95577. We'll begin a relationship with you today. Someone will respond to you and they'll start a relationship, say, "Who are you?" And then what, you know, why are you writing? And then we'll carry you forward and help you take your next steps with God. So text faith to 95577 and we'll help guide you. Take your next steps with God, and you'll be some of the first to really grasp and understand this disciple-making pathway as you become more like Jesus.